set. And the 2-0 on the way, and a curveball grounded past a diving Urshela down into the left field corner. Bregman is going to score. Alvarez will be held at third. It's an RBI double for Correa, and it is 1-0 Houston. Next pitch to Judge is hit a long way to deep right center. Marisnik racing to back, and this ball is gone. A line drive home run over the wall in right center. Judge connects, and the Yankees have a 2-1 lead. Sanchez slides to the outside, and the first pitch, a slider and a hanger, hit a long way, left field, it is gone! George Springer hits it out to tie the game. Carlos Correa steps in. Jay Happ is the pitcher, and the first pitch hits a deep right field. Judge back, it's gone! Carlos Correa walks it off. And the Astros take game two to even up the series and a win apiece.
Sports, 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 sports. So they just sit there and talk about sports?
So I wonder what we're going to get to today. Not like anything happened this weekend. Let's do it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, if you want to get in today. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get on the Blitz Facebook page. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you wish to get on the Twitch channel and get in the chat room, put your comments there. We'll read them if they're good. And just go to ESPN975.com and click on the Twitch, or go to Twitch and click on ESPN975.com. That's simple. And it's a Monday. Interesting weekend, to say the least.
Oh, yes.
And no shortage of things to get to. What's going on, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
Not much. Basically just drank and watched sports all weekend and posted stuff to Sports Map.
That's other than that, it's not a bad day.
No. Well, it was 2 days worth. Saturday, not so good because, like, every college team that I hoped would win, I had a horrible betting weekend, but, I mean, like, A&M, no contest. Texas, that game wasn't as close as the score. UH got thumped. Astros get shut out. Like, this sucks. And then yesterday happened. Yesterday was a little better.
Yeah.
So, what do you want to start with? There's so much.
I mean, I think the, well... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's two things. There's two glaring things jumping off the page. I mean,
Cowboys?
No.
Oh, okay.
Let's start with the Astros. I think that warrants the opening salvo. The Astros bats again were sleepy last night. Luckily, Verlander was able to keep them in the game, and I still contest that Brett Boone overmanaged that game, taking Paxton out so early.
Aaron Boone. Brett, too.
He was part of that mess. But Aaron Boone overmanaged that game, and pulling Paxton out when he did, I mean, had the game gone 9, maybe it wouldn't have been such a mistake. But because the game started to get deep,
yeah,
they had to get into the part of that Yankees bullpen that they didn't want to be in.
And yeah, when you see Jay Happ walking to the mound and you're an Astros fan,
you're happy with that.
Insta-stiffy.
And Happ is their guy who, if they need long relief, that's who they were going to go with. And that's my guess is Happ was going to be out there for at least the next 4 or 5 innings. And what did it take? One pitch after his, I guess he finished the 10th.
Yeah.
One pitch into the 11th and he was done. So, yeah, just say I thought it was just such an odd choice. And I know he gave up a run. I know they were touching him a little bit. But he also, he seemed like he'd really settled in. Starting to get that strikeout groove going. You know, they haven't lost a start or lost a game that Paxton started since July. And
that sounds like the guy's pitching tomorrow for the Astros.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Gerrit Cole gave up one run and four hits in a couple innings and they pulled him out of the game? I mean, it's just crazy. So I thought it was really odd because I think Paxton is their best pitcher. And to not let him go any deeper than they did. And mind you, the bullpen right after him didn't – I mean, it's not like they gave it up. That's not the point, though. Had they been able to get six out of Paxton, then they're not as deep into that pen come extra innings as they were. I just thought it was a really foolish move. And Verlander, I mean, he went further than I would have taken him.
Yeah.
Because the Astros didn't want to get to that point themselves.
I don't mind the thinking behind it. And that was one of the cool things about, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of these dugout interviews, but I thought last night's was pretty good because he explained why. It's like, okay, we got deeper with Tanaka last night than we thought we would. So we had all these guys available and we got an off day tomorrow. So I get the thinking. I don't know that I agree with it, but I at least understand what he was trying to do. And he doesn't expect the game to go extra innings either.
I get the thought process of it too, but also the Yankees don't really have a starter planned for game four. Game four is supposed to be a bullpen day. So why tax those? I mean, you don't know how game three is going to look. I mean, Severino could give up six runs in the first.
And if the weather is to be believed, though, game four is going to be a day further back. So you probably get Tanaka again.
That could happen.
Yeah.
So, but if Severino goes out there and, you know, he Foltynewicz's it and gives up six runs, then you're like, whoa, what do we do now? Now, I mean, now you've got to pull that guy early. I just didn't think Paxton was a guy that needed to be pulled early last night.
Yeah.
And I think they got scared a little bit of the matchup with Bregman. Which, I mean, listen, he's a great hitter, but that's his job is to get great hitters out. And then right after Bregman, there's a lefty
who's not hitting the ball at all.
He's not
right
going to hit Paxton. I just thought it was a really poor choice. And I don't know if that ended up biting him in the end. I think it had something to do with it, though.
Yeah, I don't know because who knows? Maybe he comes out in the next inning and gives up three runs.
He could have.
And then, yeah, you know, so it's. It's one of those where we always talk about decisions, not outcomes. I agree with you. I would have let him go a little longer.
But Verlander gets up a two-run homer. Nobody stands up in the bullpen.
Yeah. Well, you know? But that's because these teams are built differently. I mean, the Astros are going to have to rely on their starters a lot more.
I get it. But if you had a starter who hasn't lost a game since July, don't you give him more leash than that?
Well, I think maybe we're a little higher on Paxton than his manager is.
That's wild to me. I mean, that really is wild to me.
Yeah, because I would have let him in there, left him in there to keep it going I get the thought that, hey, we stole game one, you know, let's manage this thing like everything's, you know, on the line here, because if we get out 2-0, the Astros are in real trouble if it's 2-0,
obviously.
So it's one of those, it's a very debatable decision. I'm with you. I would have left him in, but because I do think his stuff looked pretty good. And you know, but then if you leave him in and Bregman takes him yard, then oh well. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
Yeah, I'm looking back. He dropped to 5-6. That was July 26th at Boston. Since that start, well, he finished the season at 15-6. That was his record. So he didn't lose another game. So 15-6. He hasn't given up. He gave up four earned runs in one start in that stretch. So in August, September, he gave up four runs once. Other than that, it's 1-2-2-3-0-0-1-0-2. I mean, that was his September. Zero earned, zero earned, one earned, zero earned, two earned. That was his September. And that you give him 2 1/3 inning? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, in the end, I don't know that that was the decision that cost him. I think give a lot of credit to Correa, who's not been great. He had a good game, not just with the home run, but he had a double early on. He had a terrific defensive play, and you know, good for him because they needed somebody like that to step up because the bats are just not hitting right now.
Nope.
And it's one thing that you go through the whole Tampa series, and you know they have a good pitching staff. Well, the Yankees have a good pitching staff too, but at some point, great hitting teams are supposed to take advantage of a pitching staff, even if it is a really good staff. And so that's getting to be a little bit of a concern. You know, I'd like to see them have a game where they get a bunch of runs, and maybe they will because they tend to do that for Gerrit Cole. And you've got him in game three. And as I mentioned, there's a chance the Wednesday game gets rained out. Apparently, there's a 100% chance of rain. So if that happens and it moves back to Thursday, I think it changes the whole dynamic of who's pitching. And you know, if I'm the Astros, I really don't want to see Tanaka again because he had their number the other night. And one of the things that came out of game one that really I found irritating was all these people banging on Zach Greinke. It's not Zach Greinke's fault they didn't score a damn run. And, I mean, he gave up three runs. He kept them in it. Where the hell was the offense? And part of it was Tanaka was on his game.
Yeah, but you know what? It's hard. And that's what happens, though. Everybody, Greinke sucks. Get rid of him. It's like, dude, that could have been Garrett Cole out there.
Well, it could have been.
And it wouldn't have mattered.
If you'd had Justin Verlander out there and he gave up two runs, guess what? You'll lose the game. And are we talking about, Justin Verlander?
No. People are just looking for a reason to be mad about Greinke. But the truth is, that dude pitched well enough to keep them in the game. Just like Verlander pitched well enough to keep them in the game last night. You've got to have some offense. You cannot beat the Yankees scoring three runs a game. Not enough.
No, it's not. And
it won't be going forward, I'm telling you. It was nice that they got one like that last night. But more often than not, I think they're going to have to average five runs a game to win this series going forward.
The one positive thing I would take out of that is I still believe at some point these bats are going to go off.
Yeah.
They can't just keep hitting like that. If they do, they're not getting out of the series.
You know what? I'm sure the Yankees feel that way too, though.
Yeah. Probably. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. There are no mistakes, except what you create. You need to know your place. Because it's about to get
heavy. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows. You guys felt it. The weather was a little bit cooler, wasn't it? Did you have a draft? Not me. Listen, if your home is not energy efficient, if your windows are leaking, Allstate Siding and Windows can help you out. You can save up to 40% on your electric bill by installing the best quality windows and siding. They've been doing it for 48 years at Allstate Siding and Windows, and they're still doing it today. You can get 25% knocked off your window package in October with no payments for 2 years. Allstate is family-owned and operated for over 45 years. Military senior discounts are available, first responder discounts as well. If you want the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Give them a call today, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
On a fourth and three. Keep the ball in Watson's hands. Watson. He hits Hopkins. A sliding grab inside the 20. And that will seal it for Houston.
She said, I thought you were going to be nice to Bill O'Brien, and now you've made him Andy Reid's sex robot.
That is true.
Yeah, you know what? If the Texans win on Sunday, I will retract my Bill O'Brien is Andy Reid's sex robot comment. And I will apologize for it, and I will be nice to O'Brien even after his next loss. How's that? All right.
Well, what do you have to say for yourself?
I don't have a giveaway today, but if anyone can figure out what movie this is from, I'll pat him on the back. Mr. O'Brien, I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice, and I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family, and I hereby undertake to not repeat any such slander at any time in the future.
I think I know where it's from.
Yeah. If I'd put the British accent on it, would that have clinched it?
The fish called Wanda,
yeah. When he's hanging down from the... I have a couple of columns coming the next 2 days on Sports Map. The one tomorrow is a sort of apology to Bill O'Brien. And then the one on Wednesday is how we need to retire the phrase, Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, so I'm for that.
That's got to go. So... I basically am going to shame people into never doing that again. But no, you know what? I'm the first to rip the guy. I got to say they had a terrific game plan yesterday. They called a terrific game. And, you know, what? And we disagreed on this a little bit. I even thought the challenge was the right thing to do, because if you're not going to overturn that, you're just never overturning interference, because that was clearly offensive pass interference. And I think they got some makeup calls because of it, so it worked out. But ordinarily, I'm like, oh, this guy's challenges are stupid. That one was not stupid. It just...
Well,
they're obviously,
I mean, if you take into account the makeup calls, it's not stupid. But any, I think any pass interference challenge at this point, you're just wasting a timeout.
I think guys are starting to figure that out, because...
Because it happened to Kelsey later in the game,
yeah,
too. Because
I think clearly that was interference, but they didn't overturn that either. And I'm okay with not overturning it if it's not obvious and doesn't change everything, but both of those plays did. So I don't know if there's some kind of revolution going on where they just don't want to ever overturn pass interference, because that's what it appears to be to me.
It's almost like they're bitter that it's even allowed to happen. It needs to be one of the get on the phone to New York or something, where right. Someone else is making that decision, because the guys on the field, they don't want to. The guy on the headset doesn't want to make his back judge look wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's so much to get to on this game, and there's still a lot to get to on the Astros, and we'll get to all of it, I promise you. I thought the officiating yesterday was, and really throughout the league, but that game in particular, very inconsistent. They threw too many flags.
Way too involved.
And what was weird was there was some obvious pass interference plays that they just ignored. There was some grabbing of the jerseys of receivers on both teams. Now, yeah. I don't want to make it sound like it was, you know, really slanted. It was just bad. Bad that they were calling holding on some of these. Like, there was one defensive hold call on the Chiefs that I never saw. And same thing, they called one of the ones on Gaines. I'm like, what? Where's the hold? And yet they're
calling defensive holding on damn near every play.
And there's players being tackled and nothing happening. So I thought it was a really poorly called game, start to finish. And I think more than ever, I just don't know what it is where guys can look right at a play and not see something like what happened on that first play for the Chiefs. I mean, it was right there in front of them. The guy's blocking a defensive back, and that's the only reason the play went for 50 yards. And it was just awful to watch. And it was all the flags. Now, and they had in their mind, too, certain things they were going to call. They were going to call defensive holding. They were going to call an eligible downfield. And they weren't going to call pass interference.
Yeah.
It was pretty much like they had their minds made up going in. But that was too many flags. And that part of it was hard to watch. But all that aside, I think this was a terrific win for the Texans. I think it was a really good performance. And honestly, I think they were the better team yesterday, because they left a lot of points out there too, just like the Chiefs did, but so did the Texans. I mean, and one thing I wish they would stop trying to force the ball to DeAndre Hopkins, thinking he's going to go up and take it away from two defenders. He hasn't done that once this year. Last year, he did it all the time.
Yeah,
but if you remember the year before, they threw a bunch of picks that way. I hated that play. I hated the fact that they called it. I hated the fact that Watson threw the ball up there, and that cost him points. And, oh, by the way, your kicker, the guy's awful. He cost you points. And that aside,
could have cost you the game.
He could have. And all that aside, they still won the game. And
honestly, he could have cost you the game late without even going on the field. Because when the Texans go for it on fourth down, which I give them credit for doing, because I would have done the same thing in that spot.
Agreed.
Because you can't trust your kicker right there. But if they don't get fourth down, I blame that on the kicker still, because he made himself known to be unreliable at that point. And I'll be honest, I haven't seen the transaction report. Kymie Fairbairn wouldn't be my kicker anymore.
Well, they just pay him in the offseason?
They did.
He's making ridiculous kicker money.
Well, sorry.
Yeah.
You know how the NFL is, bro. There's no guaranteed contracts like that.
I would have him come up with an injury and put him on IR and hope that you could figure it out and bring somebody else in. Kind of like that. I think they came up with a fake injury for Jonathan Joseph Sunday so they wouldn't be embarrassed by not being active, which I thought was the right move. Even though some guy on Twitter who seems to be loves Jonathan Joseph, it's like, oh, he's the guy's giving you 8 years. You know what? Brian Cushing gave you a lot of great years. You going to throw him back out on the field?
Yeah,
guys,
I mean,
get
at some point
old.
They're gone.
And I hate to say it, that secondary looked better without him. Yeah, they had some penalties, but they weren't 10 yards off the receivers either. They were playing press. They were getting up close, and they made some plays. They made just enough plays. I actually think on the whole, yeah, you're going to get beat by Tariq Hill. It's going to happen. That catch he made, too, was just sick where he out-jumped two of those guys.
You know what, though? That doesn't have to be sick if Reed just knocks that ball down because it was a free play.
Right.
You know, even if
he mistimed his jump,
he tried to intercept the ball, is what happened.
Right, but he mistimed his jump because
he got both hands on it.
No, he didn't. Hill came over the top of him.
No,
it took it away from him.
Through his hands.
I think he got one hand near it, but no, it didn't go through his hands.
You
got
to watch it again.
I will.
Went through his hands because I was saying at the time, all you got to do is knock it down there.
Yeah, I'm
trying to be a hero.
He was also kind of off balance up there, and Hill just out jumped him.
All right. You didn't see what I saw.
Well, I saw Hill make a play and. I thought Reed was in position, but was not. He didn't jump it right to have himself balanced enough, and Hill just took it away from him.
Yeah, but if you just make your hands a battering ram and slap it away, you don't have to worry about that.
Well, he just should have gone up with one hand and knocked it down. I mean, that's easy enough. But you know, give them credit. A guy made a play, and it was a smart play by Mahomes to throw it up for grabs.
Well, of course, yeah,
that's what a free play.
But everybody on the field knew it was a free play, including Reed.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you can make the play though if the guy comes and snatches it from you.
I'm just saying it's a lot easier to knock the ball down than to try to intercept.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I don't think he obviously didn't try to do that. And what, you know, basically that's why they got the touchdown. And that's, you know, if you're going to be in that position, I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
Because intercepting is not going to do you any good. You already know they're keeping the ball.
Exactly.
So. And then a lot of people mentioning Will Fuller. If he doesn't,
boy, you talk about going from a, oh my God, he's the greatest ever to, oh, this is the Will Fuller I remember. I mean, he's a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, people say it totally went through his hands. I disagree. I'll go watch it again, but I think he just tried to, he tried to jump up and intercept it and he mistimed his jump and Hill out jumped him. And I don't know where that little dude got that much vertical, but. He was up there, and regardless, you know, that's one where you got to make some plays. I'm going to go watch it on YouTube.
I think Reed just needed to understand the situation better and knock the ball down.
Well, yeah, that I agree with. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I don't think it went through his hands.
Okay.
Well, I think he went up for an interception, and his jump was not timed very well, and Hill's jump was perfect and just snatched it away from him.
All right, guys, if you're looking for a new job, you're not happy. I mean, maybe you're Kyamie Fairbairn and you see the writing on the wall. Well, my computer career's got you covered. And if you're unhappy at work, you're not making enough money, you're doing something you don't love, you've got options. MyComputerCareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months, even with no computer experience or training. They don't care. Helping people start an IT career from scratch. That is what they do. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. That's going to be everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They're going to help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
Just a little 10-piece for it, just to blow it in the mall. Doesn't mean that we involved. I just put a Richard on the card. I ain't...
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, I have to tell you about the best poker room in all the city, Lions Poker Palace. And if you missed out on the $50,000 guaranteed last week, guess what? Started a new one today. Two flights. There's one at 5 o'clock. So you can get in there right now. Day 1B is Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Day 1C, 11 a.m. and 5 o'clock. Friday, 5 o'clock. And 1F is 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Saturday. Day 2 is Sunday. $150,000 guaranteed for a $120 tournament. And, guys, these things have been fantastic. All their tournaments are fantastic. George and Najib know what they're doing over there.
Yep. And, guys, if you're worried about, oh, I don't want to miss the game, they've got the game on. And what about that game? They've got that game, too. They got all the games on. They got a ton of TVs there. They've got every football package available. You're not going to miss a snap if you don't want to. Great food, BYOB. You got to check it out. Check them out on Facebook to find out what time the poker tournaments are, what kind of games they're going to be playing. But check it out for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. That's Lions Poker Palace.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And, yeah, I think we just fundamentally disagree. He's out of position. He gets his hands on it, agreed. But he's also, if you look at where he is, he's falling backwards. And the ball's over his head when he reaches up to get it. And that's just, he should have been, even trying to knock it down with one hand was about the only choice he had, and I'm not sure he'd have been able to.
Well, that's what he should have done to begin
with. If he tipped it enough, he might not have been able to get it.
He should have knocked it forward like you're defending a Hail Mary, because there's no downside to that.
Yeah.
That, to me, that ball goes right between his hands. I mean,
but he's not in position to catch it. That's my point.
Well, yeah, that is the point. Why was he trying to catch it if he's not in position to catch it?
And there was
that
no
touchdown should have never happened. Is the whole purpose is what I'm trying to say? Because if he just knocks that down, it doesn't happen. He tried to make a play that he was incapable of making, and it cost him.
Yeah, I don't know the way he was kind of leaning backwards and falling backwards. I'm not sure he could have got his hand on it and knocked it away either. He might have been able to.
I mean, if you get,
but that's what you're supposed to do. That's what he should have done.
All right. Yeah, I guess we disagree, because I see it go through his hands. And to me, if it goes through your hands, you put your hands together and just volleyball spike it down.
I think that you're asking him physically to do something that he's incapable of doing. If you're saying it went through his hands and you're supposed to catch it, I disagree in this point, because he's fallen backwards. He's basically out of position for being right in front of the guy. He mistimed his jump. Hill outjumped him. And he's falling backwards. I don't know how you catch that ball. And I think you could tip it, but I don't know if you can. And obviously he thought he could make the play, and he couldn't.
I'm definitely not blaming him for not catching it, because I don't think he was supposed to catch it.
Well, he couldn't have caught that ball, I don't think. But, you know, it's easy to sit here, you know, 240-pound guys and think, oh, yeah, you can catch that. But, you know, when you're out there trying to jump up and catch a ball – that and you mistime your jump, it's not that easy. So,
And Lamont says, while y'all are talking about Reed knocking the ball down at halftime with the Texans on the 50, 4th-and-1, Deshaun throws the pick in the end zone. The Chiefs player should have knocked the ball down. I mean, he really should have. But he was trying to help Patrick Mahomes' MVP case, and two picks for Watson. He didn't gain a whole lot of ground yesterday. So that was the whole point of that. I'm just kidding. No, he should have. That's the correct call. Both of those picks were frustrating for me. Like, I don't understand 4th-and-1 when you got a timeout, why you're not just going for 1 yard. And
especially the way you're running the ball.
Yeah, So I guess the more I think about it, there's some things that Bill O'Brien did yesterday that I wasn't crazy about. But
yeah, that was one. And while that didn't actually, I mean, yeah, the player should have knocked that down and they have good field position. But in that situation, man, what are you doing? I mean, the game's still up for grabs at that point. So I didn't like that. And the other interception, I think, was just I get frustrated as hell with them trying to force the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. And that was just a timing pattern where he threw the ball up there. He never should have thrown that. It's double coverage. And Hopkins has not shown this year that he can go up and get the ball.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this was another one of those games.
How about this? The ball went through his fingertips. It didn't go through his hands. Is that fair?
I mean, I'm telling you. To me, it looks like it goes through his hands. But I
just don't know how
you make semantics.
I know. I don't know how you make that catch, though. That's the thing.
I don't think he should have made the catch. That's my point. But this was, to me, this was one of those games that ended up being a coin flip game. I think the Texans outplayed them, but it wasn't that they didn't outplay them like they outplayed the Chargers or the Falcons. You know what I mean?
But these teams this team is better than the Chargers and Falcons.
Right.
So
it's sort of, to me, this game reminded me a lot of the Saints game, just with a different result. The teams played pretty even, and this time the Texans won out.
I think they played pretty even until the second half. I think the Texans dominated the second half, and frankly, the score shouldn't have been as close as it was.
The two games that I feel like the Texans have been outplayed in are the Panthers game and the Jaguars game, and they won the Jags game.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me you're 1-1 in games you got outplayed in, and you either played the other team neutral or outplayed them in the other games, this team is playing well. And there's still lots of things that I don't like, but it's hard to argue with the results.
Too many penalties still.
Yeah, but you know what? The Chiefs had them too.
But I think that
you
was
can throw
the crew,
that out the window. Yeah. I think that officiating crew decided there was just going to be a lot of penalties.
Well, apparently that crew has the most penalty calls in the league.
Which doesn't
surprise me.
I'm very interested in this weekend's game. I mean, because this Colts team, they just did what you did. They just beat the Chiefs, and that's a. This is a team, and let's face it, historically, the Texans haven't had a great time going up to Indianapolis. I mean, they've won a couple times now after they started off 0-1 up there. And the Colts have had some good wins. The win at the Chiefs, great win. But then they've had some head-scratching losses, like home to the Raiders.
Yeah. So, although maybe the Raiders aren't as bad as we thought.
Maybe.
And that's the other thing, too. And you kind of look at the AFC West. Chargers may not be as good as we thought. Maybe the Raiders are back in play there.
Well, maybe so. Well, either way, what I'm most excited to see with this game, because however you dice it up, and the last two wins have been solid wins, particularly this win. But these are the last two teams that they played, the Falcons and the Chiefs. I don't think there's any way to say it other than those are bad defensive football teams. The Colts are not a bad defensive football team. So I'm interested to see if they go out there and carve up these Colts. If they've really figured something out, or if what we've seen the last couple weeks has as much to do with the opposition as it does with the Texans' offense. I don't think you're going to run for 200 on the Colts.
No, and I think what's going to be what's interesting to me is this is a different kind of matchup for a couple of reasons. Where the Texans were dominant, their offensive line was absolutely dominant against the Chiefs yesterday, even
yes.
after Howard got hurt. It appears the knee is not that bad. It's not as bad as it looked. So doesn't look like there's a tear and he won't need surgery.
Zero sacks again.
Zero sacks.
And the biggest issue with the offensive line is penalties. And particularly, and I don't know if it's all their fault because they do these RPOs where it's like last second passes.
And Tunsil got downfield twice on that. And that those two are like, well, if everybody's run blocking.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, you got to get rid of the ball much faster.
Yeah. So, to me, that's a situation where Watson kind of set his lineup for failure on those because you have to decide at some point during the play if you're run blocking or you're pass blocking. And if you're down the field, that's got to be on Watson to not throw the ball.
Yeah. But if you're good, that's a play design flaw, frankly, I think. I mean, it's a cool play and it worked both times except for the penalty.
Yeah.
And, I like the idea of conceptually, but I think that's really on the play design. But other than that, I mean, they ran the ball really well, which teams tend to do against the Chiefs, but they took advantage of that. And frankly, I think the defensive line of the Texans gave the Chiefs offensive line hell. I mean, they only ran for 53 yards. They got after Mahomes. They got the sack fumble. They came up with the big hit him on the arm play late in the game that caused an incompletion. And I think that's much like what the Colts did. That's how the Colts beat them, was dominating on the lines.
I think my favorite part about this game from the Texans' standpoint is they got down early. They give up the easy first touchdown. I mean, the Chiefs just marched down, basically, and took what they wanted. And then immediately Carlos Hyde fumbles.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God, this is going to spin out of control in a hurry. And to their credit, they didn't roll over and die.
Well, they were down 17-3 at one point.
I kind of expected them to roll over and die, and they didn't.
They stuck. So, that's another thing I'll give O'Brien credit for. They stuck to their game plan. They came out and they kept running the ball. They kept doing what they had planned to do. And 17-3 turns into 17-9 and eventually 17-16. And then you come up with the play right before the half after the interception. And when they went in with the lead, I'm like, holy bleep.
How'd that happen?
Yeah. Because they got outplayed in the first half, but they dominated the second half. And frankly, can we just say Will Fuller last week was what the outlier was? Because this is what he's been all year. And if Kenny Stills were back on this team, I'd feel much better about this receiving core. I just think that Will Fuller is, last week obviously had a career game. But through five games, the other four, he hasn't been a number one pick, in my opinion. And yesterday he wasn't. And You know, he catches one of those balls. Again, we're not even talking about a close game. We're talking about them winning by two touchdowns. Yep. So, but I thought that the, especially in the fourth quarter, the other thing that really made me happy yesterday, I always say, so many times in these games, they wait for a team to make a mistake at the end. And we saw it with the Saints game. They were hoping that they wouldn't drive down and then counting on them kicking a 58-yard field goal. And then against the Jaguars had to miss the two-point conversion. This time, instead of waiting for the other team to make a mistake, they went and took it. And the defense came up with the stop with 5 minutes left. And at that point, I'm thinking, you know what? If you're ready to take that next step, they don't see the ball again. And they didn't. They marched down the field, and they came up with a fourth down play, and they went for it on fourth down, and they made the play to win the game.
And I'll be on. And by the time the game was over, Mahomes didn't look healthy. But in the first half, he looked healthy. Tyreek Hill was healthy. Had you told me that they were going to go in with a healthy Mahomes and a healthy Tyreek Hill, I would have said the Texans are in big trouble. And to their credit.
And they're going to be up 17-3.
Yeah.
And by the way, you still got Travis Kelce out there.
So kudos to the Texans for fighting back. And like you said, they really did outplay them significantly in the second half, despite the fact that, what was the score in the second half? 8-7. Texans 8, Chiefs 7 in the second half, I think. But either way, the team, there was one team in control in the second half, and it was the Texans.
And that's because they were able to run the ball. And the fact that the Chiefs only got the ball for like a minute and 25 seconds in the fourth quarter.
That time of possession was just, I mean, and by the way, I would have thought that time of possession wouldn't be a strong suit for the Texans coming into the year. Now, mind you, when you play a team like the Chiefs, typically time of possession doesn't matter to them because they try to go down and score as fast as they can, and then it makes it difficult for the other team to run the ball. But the Texans didn't go off from that game plan. They didn't panic when they were down early. They just did a really good job of hanging in a game and giving themselves a shot in this, especially the fact that they went in with a lead at halftime, which I didn't think they deserved at all by the way they played in the first half. You go in like with that, and now the Chiefs are all of a sudden going, what do we got to do differently? And the Texans came out, and they made good adjustments at halftime and just controlled the ball.
And they made good adjustments from really the first couple drives because they couldn't stop the screen pass at all. They made some adjustments to that.
Yeah, one touchdown after the first quarter for the Chiefs.
Yeah. So
28-7 if you just count second, third, and fourth quarter. So the second part of the game, the Texans just controlled.
And what'll be interesting against the Colts is it's going to be a different kind of matchup. Because,
oh, no doubt.
They were able to take advantage of a couple of bad defenses the last couple of weeks, and they dominated. Their defensive line was able to do a lot of damage against two bad offensive lines. The Colts are not a bad offensive line.
No.
So I think this looks more like the Panthers matchup.
And the Colts come off a bye.
Yeah, so they've had plenty of time. And I think this will be more like the Panthers game because I don't know that they're going to be able to dominate. You know, maybe their offensive line has gotten it right, and so maybe they do there. But defensively, they're not going to get after that line the way they have the last 2 weeks.
I don't think so.
And that's what's helped the, that's what helped the secondary yesterday was that they were getting pressure on and forcing him to throw the ball before he wanted to. And you know, some of his some of the passes that he likes to do just weren't there. And you know, he's such a good player that you got to keep him off the field too, and that's what they did. And if you bet on the Texans, you probably did it on mybookie.ag, you're probably happy. If you're like me, maybe you didn't do so well this weekend. In fact, maybe your MyBookie account took a little bit of a beating, but that's okay. The good news is there's another game tonight. There's hockey. There's all kinds of things that I can bet on. Make all that money right back. And the cool thing is I did a lot of in-game this weekend, which I haven't done in a while, but those are really cool, especially when you get to the college football games. If you're wrong about a game, you can get in and play in-game and get your money back. And that's the great thing about it. And if you're right, you can double down. And they got a great promo going for you right now. Just use promo code radio, at mybookie.ag, and get in there and get in on the action. They'll double your first deposit. They've got all kinds of initial deposit opportunities for you. And if you're already there, keep an eye on your email because they've got options for you all the time. Reload options, all kinds of stuff, all at mybookie.ag. Promo code radio at mybookie.ag. Promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
your clock and grab your job.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Boston the Gloss tonight at 7. Is that correct? And the Hall of Fame with Booker T and Brad at 9. So, just for grins, I looked up how much it would be to upgrade to first on the flight to England.
Mm-hmm.
Would you care to guess? And I'm going to tell you, whatever you're going to guess, it's way low.
$1,500.
$20,000.
What?
Yes, that's what first class costs to London.
Okay.
Needless to say,
it's too damn hot.
I'm passing on that.
Really?
Yeah.
Sportsman having a bad month or what?
You know what? I hope to be that rich one day where I can just plop 20 grand down on a flight, but... Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. I'm guessing that's like the real riches do that, not people like me. And then a lot of people ask about college games. We'll get to the college football. Just be patient. We got 3 hours.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we don't. Tomorrow there will be the Astros game will be on when we're supposed to be on.
Yeah, no Blitz tomorrow.
Except for the fact that. Aren't we doing 10 to 11?
We are.
Okay, so there will be an hour-long Blitz.
You'll get a little Blitz.
Yeah, just because, some people need their fix. That includes us. So 10 to 11 tomorrow, we will do a show.
All right.
And then after that,
on your own.
It's Palillo, and then some of the suspects, and then the game. And then Glenn Davis after the game. Somebody asked, Fred, can we expect a breakdown on the new season of Letterkenny, either live on air or through SportsMap? I might do something for SportsMap because that's breaking. Rick and Morty's coming. The new season of Jack Ryan's coming. There's a bunch of stuff about to drop in November. So I might just do a write-up on all of them. So somebody says $10,000 for business to Europe. That's what the wife's company paid almost that much for her when she went. But this one, I'm telling you, it's $20,000. So,
yeesh.
Yeah, that was, I felt almost embarrassed just even looking at it because, we'll be going to, we'll be going to Vegas and it's like, oh, $180. Sure. No problem.
Yeah. No big deal there.
Yeah. And I was kind of thinking, might be able to handle, 400 or 500. I might do that for a trip that long. Maybe even 600 or 700, but no, not 20,000. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. I'm guessing that's because so many people from Houston are going over there.
Probably so.
And that flight is the one right before. So, I'm looking forward to going over there. I actually may even go to a soccer game while we're there.
Really? Or not.
Yeah. Arsenal plays Wolves on Saturday.
Well, the Wolves, I'm a big Wolves fan.
Wolverhampton, I think. So, if I can get tickets for that, I might go do that Saturday morning. The one other thing that I kind of wanted to mention about the Texans that I see as a negative is Roby going out late in the game. If they don't have him against the Colts, because that's a guy that can run with T.Y. Hilton, and Hilton's going to beat you some anyway, and he always toast the Texans.
Yeah.
That's a guy you would like to have out there on him because he at least is going to make a few plays. If he's out, that's trouble. Because they don't have anybody fast enough to run with that guy. So, I don't know how bad he is. And then, we mentioned the Howard injury. That one is not as bad as it looks, apparently. So,
but it wouldn't shock me if he doesn't play next week either.
Oh, he's not playing next week. I don't think he's playing for a couple of weeks.
It just doesn't look like it's a... season ending.
Yeah. And Johnson played pretty well when he went in there.
Yeah.
So that it's nice to have an injury on the line and be able to put somebody in there and not have it all fall apart, which has been a problem for a long time. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. D. Trent says it's only $4,000 to update on his Delta flight. And maybe because it's British Airways, $4,000 is too much for me, too. I hate to break it to you. I'm not.
Is it 20,000 pounds, maybe?
No, it's $20,000.
Oh, damn.
So.
Euros?
Not euros.
Rubles? I'll pay 20,000 rubles.
I was going to say pesos. I can handle that. But, yeah, I don't think that's the case.
Damn.
So, well, I've never flown this far in my life. So, I'm not concerned about, but I just, you know, the good news is
what if the plane runs out of gas, Fred?
Does that happen?
I don't know.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Ever?
Well,
find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I think they know how to handle the gas thing when they fly overseas.
All right. So I'm going to trust you on this one.
I think we'll be safe. I'm worried about an 8-hour flight and economy class. So, but we fly out at like 10:30 at night, right? So theoretically,
yeah,
you sleep a lot.
That's my plan. Yeah. Take a gummy and pass out.
That's a good idea. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. What did you just say? Oh, yeah. Well, I can tell you one thing I'm taking with me, my new hair.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's gonna ride with me to London. No, guys, I got to tell you, it's one of the best things I've ever done. And I was at that spot where I was trying to decide whether or not to just shave it all off or get something done. And I looked into a bunch of things, and none of them felt right. And I was ready to just do the, hey, I'm going to go bald thing and shave it all off. And then I met with Dr. Linville. And what he does is the NeoGraft procedure. He takes hairs off the back of your head, your own hair, and then moves them to wherever you need hair. In my case, right there in the front. And it makes all the difference in the world. He can even redraw your hairline. And I had it done, and it's starting to grow out really nicely. And I could just see what it's going to look like in a few months, and it's exciting. You feel better. You look better. And he understands because he had it done himself. And his hair looks fantastic. So if you're in that spot where you can't make up your mind, just go talk to him. Just go to 975hair.com. You'll get a free consultation. 975hair.com. Talk to him for free and find out what it's about. I guarantee you, you're going to love the process, and you're going to want to get it done. 975hair.com. Get your hair back.
ESPN 97.5.